The Ghost Goal Podcast.
The Premier League title race will go down to the last day of the season, as Arsenal held up their end of the bargain, getting a win at Manchester United on Sunday, before City wrestled the title back into their own hands, winning their game in hand against Tottenham on Tuesday evening. Other than that, and the topic of 5th, 6th, and 7th place, there's really not much to get into in the Premier League's final day, as the relegation battle seems tied up. But we're going to talk about some of it anyway. My name's Alex, here with Javier. Welcome to the Ghost Goal Podcast, episode 452.
You're definitely better at those intros than me, Alex. You're more polished, more refined. Mine are too rough, so you know that's why we stick to you.
Yeah, you know, I like to give you the opportunity to, you know, get your Arsenal bullshit off your chest at the beginning of some pods, you know, when you're feeling extra excited and extra, you know, hopeful. You know, I like to give the listeners a little piece of that to get it started, just to, you know.
Oh, wow. So
get the ball rolling.
There's a sadistic nature to it, Alex.
Exactly, Javier. Like to document you getting your hopes up for the inevitable end that... the inevitable conclusion that always seems to happen these last 2 years.
Well, Alex, I need to hear it from you.
But it's not concluded yet, though, Javier. You've got one more game to hear today.
From you, because you asked from Mikel Arteta at the beginning of the season, you wanted to see if Arsenal could peak at the end of the season, if we could change that mentality of, you know, at the end of the season when there's a bunch of big games, we choke and we lose. That didn't happen. You know, since the turn of the year, we have dropped points twice, once to Manchester City in a draw and a loss to Aston Villa. That's it. We've won every other game. There really isn't a lot to more we could have done to try to win the title. I mean, any other year, this points total, if we end up winning against Everton, there's only 3 years that this wouldn't have won the title in the Premier League history. Like, you know,
and aren't Liverpool like two of those in like the last couple
Liverpool
of years?
Yes, Liverpool or the other. Yeah,
and also,
exactly.
This
Liverpool
points total isn't
going
to be anything
well.
Close to those. So Liverpool, I think Liverpool got like 98
points. No, of course, Liverpool fans, I'm sure, are playing
win.
Their smallest violin for me right now and saying, oh, now you know how we feel, but it was even worse for us. So, yeah, I mean, this is absolutely insane. I mean, the standard that's being set by Guardiola, you know, like you said, we held up our end of the bargain. You know, we won these difficult games, you know, away at Old Trafford, you know, at Tottenham. There was always going to be one game where we drop points. And you had to think that there was going to be a game that City dropped points to. And it's crazy that it didn't happen. I mean, just in this game against Tottenham, I mean, there were two great chances for Tottenham to go ahead and then to equalize as well. And especially that last 1v1 with Son Man on Ortega. He buries that 9 out of 10 times. It kind of looks like he
proper Spurs.
Hit it at his leg.
He's proper Spurs. He knew that the fans would hate him forever if he did it, so he fluffed the finish. I'm joking, of course. I don't think he actually fluffed it on purpose.
I don't know. I mean, but no, I was going to say, just because going to that game quickly, I was relatively impressed with Tottenham in the way that they, especially at the beginning of the game, you know, went at City, but didn't, you know, outside of that one Højbjerg giveaway, they didn't give City a ton of chances, and I thought kept Haaland quiet. You know, obviously in the second half, once the space was exposed, I think you texted me saying, you know, there's loads of space on the wing. Once Grealish or Doku comes on, as soon as Doku came on, he was an immediate, you know, huge problem for Tottenham. And Tottenham just didn't have the answer for that. So City were the better team, and they ended up winning like they would have in any other game. But it really, like, you know, I thought Tottenham did well to even have chances to go ahead, to equalize. You know, they didn't take them, but, you know, which is very Tottenham. But I think they still, you know, somewhat held the players held up their end of the deal.
The fans,
but the fans were a fucking embarrassment, Alex. I mean, that was pathetic. That was a joke from the fans, because those players were going out there and putting their best. And I heard from some fans in the stadium. It wasn't all of them. Some of them were applauding the players when they were, you know, doing good defensive plays or attacking plays. But the ones that were singing with the City fans when they went up, you know, 2-0, like, come on, man, that's just, It's just it's pathetic and just shows the mentality. There's been numerous, you know, now managers, Ange Postecoglou in his press conference after this, you know, Antonio Conte, Jose Mourinho, they've all complained about the mentality of the club, of the fans. I think this just goes to show that nothing's changed.
Well, just
same
to,
old Spurs.
Just to give a little bit more detail on it, like throughout the game, I don't know if this was your experience with it, but throughout the game, it felt like the fans were quiet. Like they were just, you know, they were there, they were present, but they weren't, for lack of a better term, they weren't spurring Tottenham on like they usually do at home. Like Tottenham have been down one nil or 2-0 even at home to plenty of teams this season, and they've come roaring back in the second half, scored two or three or four goals and won games with the help of, you know, their crowd pushing them on. But there was nothing like that in this game. And then once City scored the second goal in the 91st minute or whatever it was, that's when the Spurs fans erupted into song, singing, you know, the what's the song they sing? Why am I forgetting it? It's when the Spurs come marching in. Yeah, they basically just stole that from Southampton, who were the Saints. They started erupting into that song, basically in celebration that like City were going to win the title and not Arsenal. And you saw like a video come out on social media earlier today of some fan right behind the Tottenham bench, like giving it to Ange about trying to win the game. And Ange like turned around and just raged at him and started like screaming at him. I can understand Postecoglou's frustration. That's got to be really frustrating to deal with.
How can you not think like these players had a chance to win this game? And if the fans back them, they win this. If they beat Manchester City, they can go into the last day realistically with a chance of getting Champions League, because Crystal Palace are on great form, Alex.
And yeah, Villa.
It's not going
to
be an easy game for
Villa. Going to Crystal Palace on Sunday in the last game.
You know, it wasn't going to be an easy game for them, and you know, I think they're going to lose it because obviously they already have Champions League now, right? But you know, it would have been an incredibly hard game for them, and I think it was a chance opportunity thrown away. If Son did miss that on purpose, you know, it's why he's never going to win anything in his career.
He didn't miss it on purpose.
I know he didn't miss it on purpose. I hope he didn't. But if he did, it's why he's not going to win anything ever in his career, because he's taking on Tottenham. And yeah, just overall, I think I can't say anything bad. You know, that game at Old Trafford, I thought we were very cagey, nervous, obviously, but I thought we kept Manchester United to, you know, shots outside of the box and individual efforts from, you know, Diallo and Garnacho, who, you know, are very, very good players. I think they're going to be assets for United in the future. They're both very young. And, you know, I don't know why Diallo didn't get more game time this season, but yeah, he's looked good in these two games Manchester United had. He also got a goal and an assist today against Newcastle. So, you know, you really have a basis there for United to... It was a good performance considering what had happened before, you know, and we weren't at our usual races, but I thought we, you know, defensively we did what we needed to do. Another away clean sheet. You know, just... history continues to... This team continues to set, you know, history, at least right now for Arsenal. This is now the most wins we've ever had in a Premier League season. You know, more wins than the Invincibles. You know, defensively, this is the best we've been in, I don't remember, probably since the Invincibles, you know, since that team of, you know, great Arsenal players of, you know, Patrick Vieira and Sol Campbell, you know, the spine of that team. You know, we have players like that now in the team with Declan Rice and Saliba. So, you know, it's a great future. It's a great basis to build on. And I'm really happy with how this season went. I think we progressed from last season. I asked for us to hit a higher points total than we did last season. We've already done it going into the last game. If we win, we're going to, you know, beat our points total by 5. Again, you know, shows a progression. We might need Pep Guardiola to leave before we win the league, but I think, you know, we got to stick with Arteta here. He's shown that he knows the right profile of player to bring into the team. He knows, you know, who to give game time, you know, where to put the minutes. He's turned players like Kai Havertz into, you know, again in this Manchester United game, gets an assist. You know, you got to give him props, Alex. You know,
no,
he's never
No, not for that specific game. Because first of all, he has Casemiro not like putting him offside because he's old and slow and seemingly playing on one leg. Then he has Johnny Evans to run at, and as soon as you get a 1v1 versus Johnny Evans, you're expected to at least like challenge the goalkeeper. I'll give him some credit for the square ball, but you know, that to me wasn't some like amazing Arsenal move. That was just United being United and fucking up with all of their injured players.
I just said you got to give him props for, you know, how bad he looked in the first, you know, half of the season when we were talking about
him. Yeah, when he was playing in midfield. And I said before the season started, you know, that the only way you guys were going to get anything out of him was if you played him as your central forward. And it took Arteta half the season to figure that out. Then the question is,
you know, where do we go next year? And I'm sure your question will be, you know, what are you going to do with Kai Havertz next year? And I think we can start with Kai Havertz in the team.
We can wait for, you know, the next season to do that.
No, I was just going to say, I was going to say, I think we're going to try to, you know, buy a young striker, you know, someone who's younger than Kai, probably, you know, someone like a Benjamin Sesko or, you know, Victor Gyökeres, you know, but not someone who needs to like necessarily immediately start and, you know, can develop into the team and still get a game time. So I think that's definitely the next type of player we need to type of, you know, the next profile of player we're going to go after in the summer. As well as, you know, we're going to move on a few players. So there's definitely a lot still room for improvement in the squad, which is good because it's a young team and it doesn't look like anyone wants to leave at all. So only positivity, even though we're not going to win the league, Alex, we have maybe, what, 5% chance of West Ham possibly getting a draw?
Well, I wanted to cheer you up a little bit because, you know, like you've mentioned, this is an improvement from last season for Arsenal. You guys have brought it down to the final day. You haven't seemingly choked it as bad as you did last season, though I would argue that, you know, losing at home to Villa the way you guys did is, you know, that was the turning point in the season. Villa are a good team, so, you know, it's not the end of the world. Like I said, not as bad as last season. But, you know, you guys were ahead in the league at that point and then seemingly shat yourselves as soon as Villa showed any sort of threat on the counter. But overall, it has been an improvement. So I wanted to, you know, introduce you to, you know, a trophy that as long as Pep stays around, you guys are going to be very used to getting for the next, you know, however many seasons. And that is the second place world's smallest trophy that I'd like to award to Arsenal. You guys can't see it since we're an audio only podcast, but I'll take a little screenshot of it and, you know, I'll put it on the socials. Javier, congratulations. The Reese Bobby Talladega Knights, if you ain't first, you're last trophy, the first one awarded to Mikel Arteta, Javier Rebolo, and Arsenal.
Wait, but you're doing this before we
yeah, I mean, you just said you're not going to win the league this season. So yeah, I figured why not cheer you up and bring out your trophy. You guys your trophy.
I hope the reverse jinx happens now. Like, oh my God, that would be the greatest justice,
Javier,
of all time.
That wouldn't be a reverse jinx. That would just be a jinx. God. If you guys end up winning the league after I do this, that would just be a jinx.
Yes, Alex. Please let it be.
But that's how confident I am because I said it before the season. I've said it for the last couple of seasons. City just win the league. You know, we go through 38 games. There's ups and downs, and then City win the league.
Oh, and then there's 115 charges. Yes.
Yeah. Well, those were all for things that happened between like 2012 and 2018. So you guys weren't, that had nothing to do with you. You guys weren't winning the league or doing anything with the league back then. So
no, there are actually charges, new charges that have been because they didn't want to give information recently as well. So there's a lot. There's a lot there, Alex.
All right, Javier, post your picture with your second place trophy.
I'll kill you, Alex.
Just a heads up, that's going on the internet. So, all right, let me save that real quick. Yeah, congratulations, Javier. Second place. If you ain't first, you're last. Do we want to talk about those last two games that are coming up this weekend? I mean, the last two games between the two title challengers, City at home against West Ham on Sunday, 11 a.m., and Arsenal at home against Everton. I mean, I'm sure you guys are going to win by how much. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we're going to win. I'm sure they're going to win, and it's just going to be 89 points and 88 points. So, unfortunate.
We've had these situations before, though. I think
89 points and 90 points.
I think two seasons ago.
I mean, I'll obviously be watching and hoping, but there's, you know, it's. What do West Ham have nothing to play for? They're stuck in ninth. They're finishing ninth. There's no incentive for them to play this game.
Maybe David Moyes wants to go out with a win. He wants to, you know.
Right. It's the manager's last game. I mean, it would be crazy if anything happened. So, you know, it is football, and of course, anything can happen. But I expect nothing. And
I just—it's the Premier League. You just know some weird shit like West Ham going up in the first half or something is going to happen, and then the whole Emirates is going to start murmuring like, "Ooh, Manchester City are down. Maybe we can win the league," and then City will come back and win 3 or 4-1 and break all of your hearts one more time by, you know, just dangling. What's the State Farm commercial where there's like the old man with the dollar bill on the fishing hook, and he's just like, "You're gonna have to be faster than that." He just pulls it away from the girl as she's trying to like grab the dollar.
I'm glad you find it so amusing that we lose the league when we have such an amazing season, Alex. We deserve to win the league this year. Manchester City didn't score on us. We didn't lose to any top six teams. Did you hear me? We didn't lose to any top six teams.
Oh, no, I heard you. I heard you.
Traditional top six teams.
I just wanted to ask a very easy question.
We didn't concede a goal to Manchester City.
What did they say about the league table?
How do we not win the league this year? Oh,
what did they say about the league table, Javier?
Fuck Manchester City. All those small teams, they just roll over for them.
It doesn't lie. The league table doesn't lie.
They just let Manchester City win. Look, the reason we lost this league, Alex, is because we did the double over two teams last year that we only got 1 point from this season. You want to know those teams, Alex? Fulham and Aston Villa. We did the double over Aston Villa, and we did the double over Fulham last year. And now this year, we're doing, you know, 1 point against both of those teams because we got 0 points against Villa and 1 point against Fulham. That's why we lost the title. But that's such a small margin. Like, if we had gotten one more point in any of those games, we win the league. Like, you can't tell me that, like,
when it comes down to small margins, City are going to win. You have to have like a Liverpool 2019 to 2020 kind of season when Liverpool had 99 points, you know,
or that Newcastle goal. If that game just ends 0-0, that goal that probably should have been, that definitely should
be
been
1 point behind City,
you know, disallowed. So. No, we wouldn't. We would be equal on points with them.
No, you're two behind them right now, aren't you?
Oh, you're right.
Math. But okay, that's the preview for the title race games this weekend. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a lot at stake, but, you know, City still have to get the job done. So do Arsenal. There's usually some twists and turns that get thrown into it. But let's look a little bit further down the league where, you know, it's still not that enticing in terms of, like, final day drama that's possible. But, you know, there's three or four teams from Tottenham in fifth place down to Manchester United in...
Dude, it's kind of juicy. You don't think Sheffield could just, like, it's their last day in the Premier League. They're just going to go guns blazing
against
this Tottenham
team. You'll remember this. What was the year when... I think it was 2015-16 when Leicester won the league. And
yes.
Tottenham lost on the final day to, like, Newcastle or something.
That were already relegated, right. Like, 5-0 or something.
Right.
It was horrific.
And Arsenal got second place, like, from that?
Right. Exactly. Tottenham had something to play for, and they lost. And they finished below Arsenal that season. That was wild. So, I could see Sheffield doing something here, and
man, I hope so.
Possibly getting like a 3-3 draw or something. Well, I guess a draw would be enough to get them to keep fifth place. But I mean, it's been impressive from Chelsea, Alex. Even if you finish sixth right now, I think you need to win your game because you want to finish sixth. You got all the results went your way. Newcastle and Manchester United. You know, Manchester United lost games when they needed you to lose and now they've beaten Newcastle when you needed them to win. Sixth place is a real possibility of Europa next season because England does get two Europa League spots. One goes to fifth place. The other one goes to the winner of the FA Cup, which the finals, Manchester United and Manchester City. If Manchester City win that, they're obviously already in the Champions League, so they're not going to go into Europa. So that spot will go to sixth place. I think that would be a great season for you guys. I know that, like, you're going to be like, whoa, chill with the word
great.
But I think
great's a strong word.
Yeah, but I would say from where you were, you know, 3 months
ago. In March.
Ago, this
Not even
has
three.
Been a massive improvement. You know, this has been a massive improvement. And especially the amount of goals you guys have been scoring. You know, you've scored more goals than Tottenham, a team who, you know, earlier everyone's been praising their attack and their attack-minded, you know, mentality of the season. You guys now have, you know, four more goals than them. You know, defensively, yeah, you obviously have big room for improvement, but you're a young team that was gelling and, you know, you had a lot of injuries similar to Manchester United. And you've conceded the, you know, same amount of goals as teams like Tottenham and Newcastle and Manchester United, you know. So, you know, you're not that far behind, at least in terms of some of the other teams battling for top four. I think you're still a long ways off, you know, what Arsenal and Manchester City are right now. But, you know, I think big improvements have been made from where you were in the middle, you know, where we were talking about you being, finishing mid-table again.
Yeah, I mean, as recently as March, we were down in 11th place. And, you know, going into the last game of the season, we've had a 16-point improvement from last year. Now, last year was, you know, the all-time most catastrophic season I've ever seen as a Chelsea fan in, you know, 30-plus years. But
it's an improvement from last season?
Yeah, we were always going to improve from last season when we had, like, 44 points.
It didn't look like that.
But we had 44 points last year, Javier. And we're at 60 now.
Okay, but you realize of those 60 points, at least 30 have come in the last 12 games or so. Like, you guys
we've improved in the second half of the season.
Only against Arsenal, and you had a couple of draws in there, but other than that, you won every other game in the last, you know. So your last third of your season is where the vast majority, you could have easily ended up with like 44, 48 points if you had continued the pace you were going earlier in the season. For a long period of the season.
Yeah, and again, we turned it around. I didn't think we were going to continue that terrible form just because we were changing an entire team, sold like the entire team last summer of a bunch of very senior players.
Finally, you guys kind
of
got fit, right? Like, you guys
it's not just fitness.
Shook off some of those injuries.
We still have had like a lot of injuries up until the last like 2 weeks when we've gotten players like Reece James and Nkunku back. But the team has started to just mesh naturally. Just by the nature of, you know, bringing in a bunch of players January of 2023, spending the second half of that terrible season using some of those players and trying to sort of bed them in with players that were about to leave, like Joao Felix and Havertz and Jorginho and Kovacic and Mason Mount. All of these, a bunch of these players ended up leaving. So the connections or relationships that were formed during that half a season were all of a sudden put back to square one. And, you know, big injuries to like the big attacking signing we made, Christopher Nkunku, in the last preseason game before the season started, resulted in us having to rely on, you know, very raw, inexperienced players like Jackson and Mykhailo Mudryk, and relying on like someone like Raheem Sterling, who's seemingly past his best, to, you know, sort of lead the attack. And that didn't go very well. Pochettino's made incremental steps to improve the team and its attack, and we're still learning to, or we're still trying to figure out what our sort of best defensive like selections are going to be. We still don't know that. We've tried countless different combinations, and we still haven't been able to try players like Wesley Fofana, who seems like he's going to be injured until the end of time. So we've still got plenty to work on, but solid improvements over the second half of the season that I'm somewhat happy with, but I wouldn't categorize it as a great season. I'd say it's an acceptable...
I think getting Europa would be a great
I'd say it's acceptable, but
were.
If we had won either the Carabao Cup or the FA Cup, which we got to the final of one and lost in the semifinal in the other to Manchester City, if we had won one of those two competitions, that would have been a great season. Success at Chelsea is defined by trophies.
But I think
that's all that matters. You win trophies at Chelsea, otherwise you're a failure.
That was your standard before, but I think it'll be a while before you guys are regularly winning trophies again.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you want to be considered successful as a Chelsea manager, if you're Pochettino, you have to win something.
Sure, but I think this has been a successful season for Pochettino, and what I was going to say was there was a lot of people trying to call for his head earlier in the season, and I was trying to say, you know, you want
stability
still
there.
In the team.
People still want him out.
Yeah. You know, you want stability in the team, you want the team to develop, and you want to see improvements, and I think you've seen them enough this season that you stick with Pochettino, you let him keep developing the team, and I think good things will happen for Chelsea if you do that. Moving on from that, though, we do need to talk about the team that's just secured Champions League, Alex, because Aston Villa, I mean, I was predicting them at the beginning of the season to... All right, in the initial or preseason previews, Alex, I had Aston Villa in fifth, so I thought they would have a great season. We had, you know, we both had Manchester United getting in that top four. We were very wrong about them, but, you know, them getting top four definitely is a big push from, you know, what anyone really thought they could do this season, and a lot of credit has to be given to Unai Emery. But I actually think, because they've gotten Champions League this season, I think Ollie Watkins is my player of the season.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
I think he's had 19 goals, all from non-penalties, by the way. Douglas Luiz has had like 7 or 8 penalty goals, so Watkins would be right up with Haaland if he'd taken the penalties this year.
Also, I think he has more goals and assists, if you put them together, than Cole Palmer. It's close, but I think he's like just one or two ahead of Palmer after that Liverpool game on Monday.
And he has 13 assists and 19 goals. I mean, the guy's been unreal. You know, there hasn't been a player since, you know, Henry, I believe Salah did it. You know, Henry and Salah are the only players who have done this, but like, you know, gotten 20 goals and more than 10 assists, you know, in a season. You know, Henry has done it multiple seasons.
Palmer now.
Yeah. Well, now Palmer. Yeah. Yeah. Palmer joined them. But yeah, that's a very, very small list of players who've done that. And yeah, props to Palmer as well, who, you know, obviously is my young player of the season. But yeah, I think Watkins for me got his team Champions League, led them in big games, you know, easily could have had 25, 26 goals if he'd been on penalties. And yeah, it's just been so impressive for me this season. And Unai Emery as well, you know, just getting the job done I know they Aston Villa spent some money, but, you know, their team wasn't as, you know, rich as some of these other teams. And, you know, they've done really well with the resources that they had. And just props to Unai coming back to England after, you know, not doing a bottle job at Arsenal and, you know, kind of leaving in shame, to come back and achieve what he's done at Villa. Because when he came at Villa, you have to remember, he took over from Steven Gerrard, and they were in the relegation zone. Like, they were terrible when he came into the team. So what a turnaround. You know, between him and Arteta are my coaches of the season. You know, obviously I would give it to Arteta, but I wouldn't begrudge people who say Unai is the coach of the season, because yeah, just so many props to this Aston Villa team. They did so well. They beat Manchester City. They beat us twice. You know, did they beat Liverpool?
Well, they drew them at home on Monday, and I think they lost the game at Anfield. I can't remember.
Yeah, but just, you know, some great results for Villa this year and played well in big games, and they're going to be a big force and reckon with in the future, you know, especially if they can keep their players.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see how they do in Champions League next season, because I know they got to the semi-final of the Europa Conference League, but there were some shock results in the group stage where they like lost to teams like, I think, Lech Poznan or someone like that in the first game, and then ended up getting destroyed by Olympiacos in the two legs of the semi-final. Olympiacos, when they've been in the Champions League, they've been like whipping boys in the Champions League. They, you know, they're always entertaining and try to attack, but they're usually not a team that like gets out of their group and does anything. So for Villa to have a performance like that against them in the semifinal, I'm a little worried for them, unless they make some big signings this summer, which they certainly could do with, you know, the promise of Champions League. That always helps you convince bigger and better players to come. All right, Javier, with that and with the relegation race pretty much being wrapped up after Luton and Burnley lost their penultimate games of the season, pretty much all but making Nottingham Forest safe and confirming my prediction that all three of the promoted teams are going to go back down, let's go to your fantasy kitchen. Final weekend of the season, Javier, what have you got for us?
The picks were thin in this one, Alex, because obviously it's the last day of the season. You don't want to make too many transfers. You know, maybe one if you can make it. There's a few players, you know, differentials that you could bring into your team that I have for you, as well as let's just start with the main course right away. You know, I think Heung-min Son, after not scoring against Manchester City, I think, you know, against Sheffield away on the last day, they're going to want to secure fifth place. And I think that they also could score a lot of goals. Could be a shootout, you know. Tottenham could get five, Sheffield three or something, and Son could get a hat trick. So, yeah, I definitely expect Son to have a big haul in this last day. You know, 10 mil midfielder, I would have him over Salah, you know, probably over De Bruyne. But that's a switch you could make if you want to try to get a differential in. Another one that is dear to me, my appetizer, Leandro Trossard, 6.5 mil. You know, against Everton at home, he's definitely going to start. He's been the on-form player for Arsenal, been scoring all these games. Definitely going to score against Everton at home. He's been our best finisher, scored against some huge goals this season. Big equalizers, winners against teams. You know, he's been a great player for us. And yeah, I expect him, if you want a differential, I think Saka's even in injury doubt for this last game. You know, I'm sure he'll play, always does. But I think Trossard could be where... get a bigger haul than Saka if you want a different Arsenal player than what everyone else has. And then lastly, for dessert, I might be bringing this guy in because he's on unbelievable form since he's come back from injury. Mikel Olise, 5.7 mil. I think he got you know, two goals and an assist in his last game and a goal and an assist in the game before that. And he's got an Aston Villa team at home that's already qualified for Champions League that was drinking heavily all over social media over the last day, you know, partying. They were at some gala doing their, you know, end of season awards. You know, it just, everything went well for Villa. I think they timed their end of the year award for the day, like for to, you know, for to see if these, how these games went. And like, when they were in their end of season award ceremony when they heard the result of like what happened in the game. So they were like, you see, there's like all these like social media clips of like Unai
it was
in
last
like a full
night,
suit, like
Tuesday night
celebrating. Yeah, last night. Yeah. So it was, I think Villa will be at the beach and, you know, maybe Ollie Watkins will be trying to get 20 goals.
Pretty much every team is going to be at the beach except for Manchester City and Arsenal. Like, that's just how this is shaped out.
And Chelsea.
It's actually a shame because I was looking Chelsea. Forward to that that possible Burnley Nottingham Forest like six pointer on the final day, but now it means nothing. So, oh well.
I was about to say the only way that Luton are not relegated is if they win 6-0 and Nottingham Forest lose 6-0.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So,
not going to happen. So,
all right. Thank you, Javier. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of the Ghost Goal Pod. Keep an eye out for, I'm guessing, next Monday night. We'll record in reaction to whatever happens on the final day and maybe do a little preview of the FA Cup final that following weekend, the Manchester Derby in the FA Cup final. Maybe some awards. Maybe we'll throw. We teased a few awards here, so Javier might have revealed his one of his picks a little too early, but yeah, that's fine. We can come up with some other awards before next time we record. Thank you, Javier, for joining me. Thank you, listeners. Enjoy. If you want to follow Javier on Twitter, you can do so at JavierRev9. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ASMoss92. And you can follow the podcast socials at Ghost Goal Pod. Enjoy the final weekend of Premier League action this weekend, and until next time, see ya.